This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time, John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always great to have you with us.
It's always great to be here, Greg. Thank you for having me.
Let's start on Libya. The president giving his by far most lengthy statement in public on the U.S.-led mission there, which is now apparently a NATO-led mission. Some say the president gave more specifics that needed to be given. Others said that he was stressing how we were leading at the same time we were following, that we were had a very narrow mission of just protecting people. And at the same time, he looked like he was looking for regime change without specifically calling for that because it had gone so much longer than expected in Iraq. Overall, how do you think the president's speech played, and where does it all stand now?
He did the best he could under the circumstances. Look, with the United States very strongly involved in Iraq and Afghanistan, the idea of opening a third front with the U.S. military taking a premier role was just not going to sell well with the American public, no matter what the president said. He did make it very clear that we were not taking over the lead, and this morning, as White House Press Secretary Jay Carney announced in the last few hours, Operation Odyssey Dawn is over, Operation Unified Protector, that is, a Libyan mission to protect civilians from atrocities, has just begun. This is under NATO, not the United States, and the U.S., as the President Jay Carney said, is stepping back. Now, how long it will go, one does not know. Jay Carney today emphasized very strongly that one of Colonel Gaddafi's closest associate, Foreign Minister Moussa Koussa, has defected to the West. This is someone who worked in the economic area with him, is very close to the Libyan strongman and his family, and may well have been involved in the Lockerbie bombing. I note that no one said the E word, extradition, today, so no promises have been made. But clearly, Carney told us, if anyone that close to Gaddafi defected, that's a strong case to be made that the losing side is Gaddafi's.
Well, we'll certainly see if that's the case. John, one of the things we heard the president say, as I mentioned a moment ago on Monday, is that our scope was limited. It's to protect civilians from a potential massacre and to establish a no-fly zone. Then just 48 hours or even less later, we heard about this secret order allowing the CIA to collaborate with the rebels. How did that go over at the White House today?
Well, Carney, of course, immediately drew the cloak of top secret around him, and when the term CIA came up, he said, you know I'm not going to discuss intelligence matters here. Now, of course, the CIA's role in this has been urged by many people. Earlier in the week, I attended a panel at the American Enterprise Institute. Paul Wolfowitz, former top Pentagon official and president of the World Bank, called for not just the CIA, but other branches of government to be involved for the recognition of the rebels as the legitimate government in Libya and to arm the rebels. These are things the administration has not ruled in or ruled out at this time. But again, it's very clear there's a U.S. hand in Libya. How long it will be there, how hard it rests in the situation remains to be seen.
John, a lot of folks have said, even with a shift of command to NATO, that the U.S. really kind of calls the shots in NATO as well. So what has the White House said about what's really changed there?
Well, they did point out that an American is supreme commander of NATO. But on the other hand, we have many nations participating in this. Jay Carney went out of his way to praise French President Sarkozy and the leadership role he's taken, along with Prime Minister Cameron, and several other world leaders in this. And they always emphasize that it's a coalition. Now, it is a fact that as of today, 40% of the operations in the Libyan mission are still involving U.S. Soldiers, sailors, civilian officials, airplanes, and supply. Whether that changes remains to be seen, but it is clear, and they have to admit, NATO is primarily a U.S. operation with strong foreign participation. That means we'll always have a hand involved in Libya until the mission is over.
John, let's move to domestic issues now and to the budget fight. We know that the current continuing resolution runs April 8th, which is a week from Friday. Let's go through a series of predictions here. First of all, will there be a shutdown?
No. Even with the Tea Party pressuring members of Congress, Speaker Boehner, Budget Committee Chairman Ryan, and others are just not going to let that happen because they have two strong memories of what happened in 1995 when they clashed with a Democratic president and the government shut down. You can make the best case in the world for whose fault it is, but it's usually the man with the presidential seal and the podium who comes out on top.
So does that mean, then, that Democrats actually have the edge here? Because what we've seen in these short-term continuing resolutions is cuts that Republicans make that Democrats apparently can live with. So basically, is it Democrats telling Republicans what is or is not okay here?
You would think they would have veto power over it. But many members who go along with these resolutions, albeit ones who are angry because there isn't an overall budget, just like 2010, nonetheless, do get some cuts in there, and pretty soon you're going to run out of areas that the Democrats say are okay and have to deal with areas that Democrats say are not okay. And I refer specifically to the Head Start program as well as the funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and other issues like that. They will deal with them, and it will be Democrats who then have to play defense as people begin to wonder, why aren't you cutting these things?
John, we've heard the number $30 billion thrown around in addition to the $10 billion already cut in those shorter resolutions. Is that where you're putting the money on where it's likely to end up?
Absolutely. $30 billion, it means a lot to people, much more than $10 billion does. And while it's not an entitlement like Social Security or Medicare, it's a step forward toward making cuts.
John, we'll be watching. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Watching both the budget here and what's going on in Tripoli there, I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi is political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Karumbas of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily. Thank you, sir.